Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chapter 13, Deliverance of Jaghai and Madhai. And this, Lord Chaitanya is extending his mercy, about to extend his mercy. Nityananda is saying that he doesn't feel any pain. And Nityananda admitted to Mahaprabhu that Jaghai protected me, even though Madhai threw the pot. If you ever want to remember who threw the pot, remember Madhai means mad. Madhai, M-A-D, mad. So the mad one, That's how I always remember. The Jaghai Madhai. Well, who threw the pot? Well, this is how the brain works. Memory works by association and different ways. So this is, like I made it, you can make keys up also. Like I wanted to memorize the nine islands of Navadvip. And also the sequence of the nine limbs of devotion. So I made a key. If I remember the key, then I can remember the islands. It's a little, seems complicated, but for me it works. So you have to find different techniques for memorizing things. So my key is Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu keeps relishing the joyous moods of Radha's anurag. So first of all, the key is nice philosophy, because it's true. Lord Chaitanya is relishing the anurag bhavas of Radharani. And the first letter of each one of these words is each of the nine islands, and it also represents the nine limbs of devotion. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu keeps relishing Radha's joyous moods of anurag. And then the first, so Sri is S, Simantadweep. Simantadweep is the island for Shravanam, hearing. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga is Godrumdweep. Of course, you have to know the name of the islands. And the second one is Godrumdweep, Sri Gauranga. And Godrum means chanting. This is the island of chanting. And then Mahaprabhu. Now, this is tricky because there's Mahaprabhu. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu keeps relishing the joyous moods of Radharani's anurag. Then there's moods. So Mahaprabhu and moods. So Mahaprabhu just so happens to fit Madhyadweep. Mahaprabhu, Madhyadweep. Then moods is Mudadrum. Mudadrum. Mudadrumdweep is Mudadrum. So that becomes easy. And then there's two R's. One is Ritudweep and one is Rudradweep. So shorter things come before longer things. So the first one is Ritu and the second one is Rudra. So now we go back. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So the third island is Madhyadweep. And Madhyadweep is the island for Smaranam, remembering. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Then keeps relishing. Keeps his K for keeps. And K for Koladweep. And Koladweep is Padasevanam. Padasevanam. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu keeps relishing. Relishing is Ritudweep. And Ritudweep is, after Padasevanam comes Archanam. Now the system of the nine limbs of devotion, Shravanakirt, I just made the key for that, and remember the islands, because each island represents something. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu keeps relishing. Ritudweep is relishing, and Ritudweep is Archanam. Keeps relishing, and then Ja, joyous moods, Janudweep, J for Janudweep and J for joyous. And that's Vandanam, the island of Vandanam. Joyous moods. Well, here we have moods. Moods is Modadrum. Modadrum. Modadrumdweep is joyous moods. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu keeps relishing the joyous moods. And that is Vandanam, is Dasyam. Right? Dasyam. Archana Vandanam, Dasyam. And then joyous moods of Radha's Anurag. The last R is Rudradweep. Ritudweep, then Rudradweep. Radha's Anurag. And Rudradweep is Sakyam. Then Anurag is Antardweep, and Antardweep is Atmanavedanam. So when I'm thinking, because if you just want to say, tell me the nine islands, and which one represents which, it'd be a little difficult. But if you can remember this key, and then some other things too, but if, because it goes in Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam, Archana, like this, so. When you go to college, I went to medical school and then to residency. So you have to memorize all millions of things. So you have to develop all kinds of techniques and keys to memorize. So now, back to the pastimes. This text 193. Jagat Jere Varashuni Vaishnava Mandal Jaya Jaya Haridwani Karila Sakal. On hearing the benediction awarded to Jagai, all the Vaishnavas chanted, Jaya Jaya Hari Hari. So what was the benediction? The benediction was when Nittai told Chaitanya that Jagai, of the two, Jagai and Madhai, that Jagai had protected him from further aggression of Madhai, then Lord Chaitanya was very happy to hear that, that Jagai, although he's so fallen, he had protected Nittai. And we discussed that yesterday about protecting devotees and protecting the Lord. And so then the benediction he got was Prema Bhakti Labha. May you attain pure devotional service from this day on. So when everyone heard that, imagine if you were there, imagine if you were in the room with your spiritual master and all the God brothers, God sisters were there. And then he called up one devotee and says, I like this devotee very much. I bless you. I bless you from this day on. You'll attain prema bhakti today. Then what would the other devotees feel? Oh, what about me? that rascal. Why, he's getting the blessings instead of me. We may feel like that, or we could think, Jai, Jai, Hari, Hari. All glories, how fortunate. Well, obviously, it's a stroke of special mercy. So the devotees in this particular Sangha, and this is called Vaishnav Mandala, remember. This is not ordinary mandala, it's Vaishnav Mandala. The Vaishnav Mandala, this is a circle of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Vaishnavas are Bhagavatas. They worship Bhagavan, and they study the Bhagavat. So they're Nirmatsaranam Satam. The Bhagavatam is Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. It is for them. It is for the Vaishnav Mandala. So they are free from envy. So if they hear that another devotee is getting some reward or some benediction or glorious reward or position or benediction from the Lord, they don't become envious, they become joyful. Just like a mother or father. A mother or father, if their child wins some award in school, or he's promoted somehow, they don't say, oh, you got this award, why didn't I get it? And they feel happy. Oh, my son became number one, or he got the award in the school. They're happy if their son or daughter excels in academics, or is recognized for some good behavior or saintly behavior they may exhibit in the society. They become proud. Oh, it's my son, my daughter. Is number one Sankirtan devotee in Mayapur. Maybe some of the Bengali devotees, maybe their mothers are also devotees, because the whole family's joined. And their son may become maybe a brahmachari, and he becomes number one Sankirtan devotee, number one book distributor for 2008. So she won't think, oh, why do you get that? I should be number one. No, she's very happy. So devotees are happy. Because if one devotee's glorified, I'm glorified. We're all glorified. There's no competition here. So this is the Vaishnava Mandala. Jai Jai Hari Hari. All glories to Jagai. You just see the blessings he got. Prema Bhakti Haokari Jakana Balila Takani Jagai Preme Murchita Haila. As soon as Vishwambar said, may you attain pure devotional service, Jagai immediately lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. Jagai preme murchita haila. So it was instant. The blessing was right immediate. He said, Mahaprabhu said, may you attain prema bhakti. So we're reading verse by verse and commenting, but it's going very fast. If you're watching the movie, it's going very fast. He's speaking to Jagai. Nittai is saying, spare Jagai, he protected me. Oh, really? Oh, from this day forward, you'll attain prema bhakti. And then as soon as he says that, then everyone says, Jai, Jai, Hari, Hari. So then a split second later, then Jagai's, oh. He murchita. Murchita means he faints. He becomes unconscious because he got the prema. He got the prema bhakti to such an extent, to such velocity and power in that benediction that he fainted. And this is the eighth symptom of sattvic bhav. It's called pralaya. Pralaya means devastation or destruction. Also means death. This also happens, but not generally not in bhakti, because death is not favorable for devotion. That's why Nanda Maharaj didn't give up his body in separation from Krishna, and Dasarath did. So Nanda Maharaj is glorified as a much greater Vatsalya parental personality than the Ram, the father of Ram. Because Ram's father, the Acharyas say, Ram's father only endured the pain of death once. But Ram was banished to the forest, and then he couldn't bear that pain to not see his son, Ramachandra. So Dasarath died on the spot. And then, so then the Acharyas say, who has greater Vatsalya Bhav? Dasarath or Nanda Maharaj? When Krishna left Vrindavan and he went to Mathura, he stayed there for 17 years. He didn't come back. And then he went to Dwarka. And it wasn't until, when Krishna was about 50 years old, he went to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. And Nanda Maharaj went there. So for 40 years, 45 years, he didn't see Krishna. So of course he had intense love, as Dasarath had intense love, or has intense love for his son, Dasarasuta, Ramchandra. What to speak of Nanda Maharaj's love for Krishna, for Gopal, Nandalal. So intense. But his love is so intense, and so this is called the Samartha Rati of the Brijvasi. Samartha, everything for the beloved, nothing for me. So his love is so intense that he was dying every moment of every day for 40 years. He tolerated the pain. Nanda Maharaj tolerated the pain of death every moment of every day for 40 years. Why? Because he didn't want to create any pain for his son. He was living by the thought, well, what if Krishna comes home and I'm not here? If Krishna comes home and I'm not here and he needs a new ball bat, he needs a new bat to play with, because they play like cricket. Not exactly cricket, but they throw amalaki fruits and they have these bats and they hit them. And Nanda Maharaj's duty was to make new bats when they would break the old bats, like these wooden bats, like lati. And what if I'm not here? What if I'm not here and Krishna comes back and a lightning bolt goes and he becomes scared and he runs into our room and I'm not there to hold him in my arms and to comfort him and to allay his fears of the lightning bolt during a rainstorm? So I must live on, although it's so painful, it's crushing, it's killing me. I'm dying moment by moment. So this is, the Acharyas say, his love is thousand times more than Dasarath's. And Dasarath, oh my son, and dies. So this is just one point. So although I'm just saying here that I was just reminded of this when Jagai received this prema, then there was this pralaya. So what the point I was making is that in the eighth symptom of sattvic bhava is pralaya, which means death. So the intensity of the vatsalya bhava of Dasarath was so great that he died. That's really a high expression of bhava. Sattvic bhava, romancha kampa ashru. Romancha kampa ashru, these are different symptoms of sattvic bhava. Hair standing and then choking in the voice, tears. But the final one is pralaya, total devastation, annihilation, death. And it happens. Dasarath died. So this is pralaya. But here, so now this prema bhakti is coming into the heart instantaneously. There's no hesitation. He's given the benediction 1 second, and a second later, prema murchita. He faints on the ground, but he doesn't die. Because it's not conducive to serving Lord Chaitanya. He has service to do. Prema means prem seva. Aradnam, it's like Radharani is Aradnam. She has the greatest mahabhava, but she does the greatest seva. She doesn't simply relish her mahabhava and float off into outer space with her relishing her mahabhava. She's expressing it. Every part of Radharani is made of mahabhava. Her eyes, her nose, her face, her hands. Her entire body, Mahabhava Sarupini Radharani. So with every aspect of herself, she's giving Krishna the greatest happiness and the greatest love, Mahabhava. So Jagai is fainted on the ground, immediately lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. But he's not dead, but he's unconscious. So And Gaudiya line, Rupa Goswami says that pralaya is not favorable, death is not favorable to serving Krishna. So therefore devotees faint, murchita. And you see so many instances of devotees fainting due to ecstatic bliss. Prabhupale jagai utiya dekamore satya ami prema bhakti dandila tore. Vishwambhara said, jagai, get up and look at me. I have indeed awarded you pure devotional service. Prima bhakti dhan dila. I've given you that wealth. That is the greatest wealth. Ramananda Rai was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a dhani? Who is a wealthy person? Who is a crorepati in this world? Is it Bill Gates or Rockefeller or Tata or Hinduja? And Ramananda Rai, when he was asked, he said, no, my lord. He would prema bhakti. Who has prema bhakti? He is really wealthy. He is a wealthy person. So this is prema bhakti dhan dila. Mahaprabhu has given this wealth. And now Jagai is experiencing it. This is incredible. And Jagai has to think. Because now he's quite conscious. He's Krishna conscious. So now he has memory also. Krishna has given a memory. He's thinking, yes, many times my brother Madhai and I, we would get one bottle of whiskey. And we would drink and drink and drink until we fell unconscious. We also go unconscious on whiskey. But this unconsciousness, prema murchita, is nothing like that unconsciousness. This is mada, this is prema unmad. This is the madness, intoxication due to prema. I also fell on the ground. Madhai and I would drink whiskey and we also collapse on the ground. And we fall on the ground. I also fell on the ground, but this is a different category, different nature. Now what is the experience of Jagai when he comes out of this murchita, this praying murchita, this unconscious state? Because the Lord is telling him, Vishwambhara is saying, look, deko, look at me. What, you fainted, you couldn't contain the ecstasy and you fainted, murchita. Now wake up, uta, get up, look at me. What do you see, Jagai? Chaturbhuja Shankha Chakra Gada Padmadhar Jagai Dekhila Se Prabhura Vishwambhar. Jagai saw Vishwambhar with four hands, Chaturbhuj, holding conch, disc, club and lotus. Dekhiya Murchita Hana Padila Jagai Bhaksheshi Charana Dila Chaitanya Gosai. What? Can you imagine? Can you see this? This is the transcendental television, Shastra Chakshush. The eye of Shastra is supposed to take us through time, through space, beyond the body, into the Aprakrita Leela, the Alokic Leela of the Lord. This is the telescope. People get a big telescope to see the rings of Saturn or Jupiter or whatever it is, to see the different planets up there. What's going on up there? We need a big eye, a big magnifying glass to see what's going on. Or see something very small, we need a magnifying glass, spy glass, or what, to see the small thing. The Shastras are that magnifying glass to see the reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all, as Srila Prabhupada said. Srimad Bhagavatam is that, and so is Chaitanya Bhagavat. See the pastime through the shlokas. Shlokas are magnifying glasses. They take us out of the body, beyond. There's no time, and Shastra is timeless. They write on the back of the Gita, the timeless wisdom of India, Bhagavad Gita, the perennial philosophy. These are the basic lines on the back of the Bhagavad Gita cover to promote the sale of the book. So these shastras are timeless. They are nitya. They are Purusheya, Shabda Brahman. So as much as we surrender to the Shabda Brahman, the Shabda Brahman takes us for a space ride. We go for a ride and we see it. We enter, and this, if we're actually tanmoy with Shastra through Sharanagati and through Icha, through desire and surrender, then when we read this, we'll also faint. Or we'll also see Chaturbhuj Narayan. This is what's happening with Rasika Bhavubhaka. The Bhava Bhaktas, the Premi Bhaktas, they have a quite different experience of Shastra than we do. Two devotees, I can remember sitting in some Harikatha with some very exalted Vaishnavas, And I'm sitting there trying to keep from falling asleep, as usual, you know, sleeping in Harikatha. And I'm looking around, and I see some people next to me, just tears flowing down their face like this. I was thinking, I say, this person is listening. This person is really listening. There's hearing and listening. This vibration is going deep into their hearts, way beyond the senses, way beyond the mind. It's penetrating the heart region and stirring up the bhavas in their hearts. And those excited bhavas are rising, udipan. They're rising through the mind and heart and creating this transformation, ashru, bhavashru, shravanadasha. They're hearing the shastra and they're having like these transformations. And I was seeing this, I said, what's with me? All of this is, I'm hearing the same shastra, the same harikatha that he's hearing, and my experience is I can't keep my eyes open. And his experience is his heart is wide open and tears are falling from his open eyes. The only thing collecting in my eyes is some grease, some eye grease, the stuff on the side, right? No ashru. This is incredible that the Jagai, he gets supreme, he falls on the ground, he stands up, get up, look at me. Huh? Wow, what am I seeing? I thought you were Nimai Pandit. I was seeing you every day at Mahaprabhu Ghat. We made our base of operations there, my brother and I. We were seeing you. And I told you, oh, we can bring ingredients for the worship of Mangala Chandi for you. Now, it's not Nimai Pandit. It's Chaturbhuj Narayan. Narayan! Seeing this, he fell unconscious to the ground. Now, can you see this scene? Vakshe Sri Charana Dila Chaitanya Gosai. Now every morning we're seeing. What about Vaksha? What are we seeing about Vaksha? In other words, Nisringadeva is taking his nails, and Vaksha means chest, and he's ripping apart the chest of Hiranyakashipu and taking out his entrails. So here it's saying Vakshe Sri Charana Dila Chaitanya Gosai. So now for the second time in a matter of seconds, Jagai is fainted on the ground by the mercy of this contact with prema. Now Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya is putting his lotus feet on Jagai's chest. Just see the fortune. Can you feel that foot on your chest? What would it be like? Who else had the foot on their chest? Who else got Lord Chaitanya's foot on their chest? Haridas Thakur, when was that? It was Anti Leela of Haridas at the end of his life. He says his dying request was, I want the bumblebees of my eyes to land on the golden lotus flower of Gauranga's beautiful face. And I want to feel the tender lotus petal soft feet of Gauranga on my chest. And in my ears, I want to vibrate the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This is the wish of a dying man. Oftentimes when one is about to die in a prison, they say, dying man, or you're a prisoner, we're going to hang you at sunset or give you an electric chair. What is your last wish? Oh, my last wish is that I have some maha cake from Radha Madhav. Or my last wish is I have Jagannath Chapan Bhog, or whatever. Sometimes they have other assorted wishes, which we won't mention. So Haridas, this was his dying desire, and it was fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya came and put his lotus foot on his chest, and he held it with his Chaitanya's foot with his hand. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Then he left. So here Jagai, what is his qualification? This is pure mercy. Lord Chaitanya is putting his foot on his chest. How fortunate is Jagai? We can pray to Jagai. You're so fortunate. Vakshe Sri Chaitanya Charandila. He put his foot. Paya Charanadhan Lakshmira Jivan Darela Jagai Jena Amulya Ratan. Receiving the treasure of the Lord's lotus feet, which are the life and soul of Lakshmi, Jagai held them tightly as if they were invaluable jewels. He held them tightly as if they were invaluable. Amulya, mulya means price, mulya. Amulya means no price, priceless. Ratana, is it Ratana? Yeah, Ratana, same as Hindi. Priceless jewels. Chaitanya Charan. These are priceless, Amulya Ratan. Chaitanya Charan, Amulya Ratan. It's something called visualization. There's something called visualization. It's very helpful. And matter of fact, it's a very useful tool. Because one aspect of Smaranam, say, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. This is Vishnu Smaranam. Remembering Krishna, Vishnu, Radharani, Chaitanya, Gauranga, Nityananda, Lila Smaranam, Guna Smaranam, Nam Smaranam. There's different categories of Smaranam. Rup Smaranam, Nam, Rup, Gun, Lila Smaranam. So to do Smaranam, we have to develop good powers of visualization. And then in primary school, or even in nursery school, sometimes they have exercises of visualization for the children. So we have become big children of God, let's say grown-ups, but we should grow down and not up. We're all grown-ups, but in Chaitanya's movement, everyone should be grown down. Sunichena. Trinadapi Sunichena. We should grow down. Grow down, go down. Get down. Namaha. What does Namaha mean? Maha means ego. Na means no. This is the most important word. The most important word when we offer obeisances is Namaha. Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, right? Vaishnavi, O Prabhu. O Didi Ma, O Didi, or Vaishnavi, please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama. This is the most important word in the entire shloka, is the last word. We save the best for last. Namaha. Namaha. Ma, this ma means ahamameti. Ahamameti. Ego, ahankar, false identification. Aham, I am the body. Mameti, this is my wife, my husband, my house, my car, my body, my cell phone. Ahamameti. Namaha means no false ego, only true ego. So when we're saying, this is what we're actually offering to the other devotee, or this is what we're offering at the feet of Guru, we're offering our ego. And we're praying, please accept my ego and purify it by your beneficent glance, by your all-encompassing mercy. I'm saying Namaha, I'm begging you, O Vaishnav Thakur, O Guru Bhai, O Guru Bain, O God Sister, O God Brother, O Mahaprabhu, O Guru Prabhu, Guru Dev, please purify my ego. Because when that's purified, Krishna Prema is accomplished. This is the whole Shikshastakam is all about purifying the ego, developing the proper attitude. So this word, Namaha, is so important. So our movement is grow down. Don't be grown up. So we as grown-ups, or so-called adults, adult means adulterated. Adulterated, what we say, unalloyed devotion, we say unalloyed. Ahoituki, apratiyata. Ahoituki. Apratiyata, unalloyed, pure devotion, no mix, karma mishra bhakti, nehi, gyan mishra bhakti, no mixture, shuddha bhakti, pure bhakti. So adult means adulterated. Adulterated means you have milk, you have 1 liter of milk, and then you throw in a half a liter of water, or 1 liter of water. Then you sell it. So that milk is called adulterated. So we're now adults, which means we're adulterated. There's so many mixtures inside of us. Adult means one who is adulterated, one who is mixed up with all kinds of misconceptions and proud ideas. So Jagai is, he's getting the mercy. And we should try to visualize this is what I'm speaking about, this visualization process, we should practice the art of visualization. We read a few shlokas, and then we try to visualize. This is a very preliminary state of smaran. Later on, smaran comes on its own. But there's five levels of smaran, five levels of remembrance. The first one is active participation. We have to actively try to remember. And it's only momentary. This is first level, smaran. It's called smaran. And then there's dhyan and anusmriti samadhi, like this. So smaran means actively. So part of smaran is visualization. We just see, what a beautiful scene. You see the jagai, he's fainting. Then he gets up. Now he's lying on the ground, and Lord Chaitanya puts his feet, it didn't say foot, it said puts his 2 feet on his chest. So visualize, what would it be like? And if you want to get a deeper visualization, lie on the floor and have your godbrother step on your chest. So you can absorb the idea. Oh, please, I'll lie on the floor, you step on my chest. Oh, yeah, it's like this. Oh, it's a... Nice. Dasosmi. Das, das, and das. Das means under the feet. Now look at Jagai. He's seeing Darshana Mahaprabhu as Chaturbhuj Narayan, who is the Lord of everyone. And now he's getting the feet of Lord Chaitanya in his chest. Now visualization is that you're reading these shlokas, and if you're really absorbed, you're thinking, what's going to happen next? Just like you're watching a movie. And then you see in the movie, of course we haven't, practically, honestly speaking, I haven't seen a movie in 37 years on TV or anything. Well, just, I have seen enough movies to remember. But you're seeing a movie, and you're anticipating, part of your absorption in the movie is you're anticipating the future, because you're seeing the present. Oh, she's waiting to meet her husband, and she's looking at the watch and looking outside, and finally he comes, and then he has some lipstick mark on his neck, and he walks in, and she says, why are you late? And she doesn't notice, and then she notices, huh? And then she, toom, she slaps him in the face. This is all you're seeing, this. And then your mind is, you're seeing the present, but then your mind is running to the next moment. What's going to happen now? What's he going to do? What's he going to say? What's she going to do? What's she going to say? So then when he goes, oh, you know, what they usually do. The lady goes, toom, and then the guy goes, oh. Then he looks and he says, really? And then he goes, Tom. Then he slaps her. Then you're thinking, what's she going to do? Maybe she'll do this, maybe do that. And your mind will create different possible future scenes. Very, very fast, your mind will work like this. Or maybe she'll hit him again, or maybe she'll shoot him, or whatever. So she runs to the drawer by the bed, and she opens the drawer, and she picks out a 22 pistol. A 22 little derringer, they call it. And she goes, you! And she says a bunch of things in Hindi which you don't understand. And this, that, the other thing, you cheated on me, this, that. Doom, doom, doom. And he says, no, because he's about to get shot, right? He says, no, this, you said no to me so many times, now forget it. Doom, doom. And he's, tom. So you're imagining, and you're watching the movie, so the movie has you fully grabbed. It has your imagination grabbed, it has your visualization, it has your heart, it has your eyes. You're just totally absorbed in it. So shastras should grab us. G for granta, G for grab. This is grant, like we have the holy grant. Grant means shastra. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So it's the king of all grantas. So G for granta, G for grab. It should grab us. It has great grabbing quality if we allow ourselves to be grabbed. So if we're reading this, wow, he saw this four-handed form. And then he fainted. And now he has this, Lord Chaitanya is putting his Vakshe Sri Charanadila, Chaitanya Gosai. And Lord Chaitanya is putting his foot on this drunk, this degraded person. He's putting his beautiful lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lakshmi Devi, on this filthy person. This sinful person is so contaminated. If the air blows by his body and that air comes to your body, then so many sins come onto your body just from the air blowing by the body of Jagai. That's what it was like before. So now, Charane Dharya Kande Sukriti Jagai E Mata Apurvakare Goranga Gosai. The fortunate Jagai shed tears as he held the Lord's feet. Such are the wonderful pastimes of Lord Gauranga. So if you're reading that Lord Chaitanya, if you're reading verse by verse slowly, not reading like speed reading Emily Wood's speed reading course or something, where you read with your finger. When I was in college, I took a speed reading course. We had to read so many books, so you just read to get the facts, and you actually read with your finger. When you go to school, you go like, when you're a little kid, you're using your finger when you read. You walk on the page with your finger. And hey, don't use your finger. And when you go to college and you go in a speed reading course, they teach you to read with your finger. You go like scanning the page. So if we're reading verse by verse and trying to enter deeply, become tanmoy, become one, our heart, mind, everything merge with the shloka and the scene, the feelings, the exchanges, the loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees, then we freeze. It's like we see a movie and they freeze. So we freeze at the feet of Gauranga or on the chest of Jagai. Oh, if I was so fortunate, and if that happened to me, then what would I do? Would I faint again? Or would I wake up? Or would I tremble? Or what would I do? Would I cry? Would I hold onto those feet? What would I do? So this is where you're visualizing and anticipating what would the possible next scene be without looking ahead to the next shloka. And that's how you get more absorbed. You think, well, if that happened to me, I think I would just start trembling, whatever. So then you read the next shloka, and what is Jagai? What is his response? What is the response of Jagai? He holds them tightly as if they're invaluable jewels. And then what happened? Then he started crying. These are the wonderful pastimes, the Purva Leela of Gauranga Gosai. Eka Jiva Dui Deha Jagai Madhai Eka Punya Eka Pap Vaise Eka Tani. Jagai and Madhai were like one soul with two bodies. Yet here, one was pious and one was sinful. Purport. In the mutual exchange between Jagai and Madhai, sometimes on the pretext of pious activity, one would caution the other from committing sinful activities. And at other times, when the former would engage in sinful activities, the latter would caution him. Therefore, they were both rascals. On seeing Jagai's reward, the heart of Madhai was transformed. So sometimes Jagai would have an idea to do something good, and he would tell Madhai, oh, don't do this bad thing. And then maybe Madhai would listen to him or not. Then another time, Jagai would want to do something bad, and Madhai would say, hey, don't do that. So this way, sometimes one would suggest something pious and correct the other one, and sometimes the other one would suggest a pious religious activity, and the other one would agree to follow his idea. But ultimately, they were both rascals because they were both engaged in sinful activities, full speed. So when Madhai saw the mercy that was being given to his brother, he became transformed. Jagairir Prabhu Jabe Anugraha Kaila Madhaira Chitta Tata Kshane Bhala Haila. When Vishambhar bestowed mercy on Jagai, the heart of Madhai was immediately rectified. Prabhu Anugraha. Anugraha means compassion or mercy. So Madhai's chitta, tatakshane bhala, it became good. At that moment, tatakshane bhala, bhalo, his chitta, his consciousness became reformed just by appreciating the good fortune of his brother. So you see how beneficial the right attitude is. The right attitude is very beneficial, and the right response. So rather than being, because there's another response, Madhai could have had this response and exhibited this attitude. Oh, Jagai is getting the mercy, not me? Oh, that rascal, why should he get the mercy? And he could feel all kinds of envious feelings and express that envy towards his brother and towards the Lord. Why he's giving to him, not me? But his attitude was something different. He was appreciating. It says here that his heart was transformed. When the Lord bestowed mercy on Jagai, the heart of Madhai was immediately rectified. So this is because, in one sense, because he had his attitude was, he wasn't offensive. He wasn't envious of his brother. He was just observing it. And the other point, which is made by Vrindavan Das Thakur, they were like one soul in two bodies. So whatever happened to Jagai, it also happened to Madai. In this case, a good thing was happening to Jagai, but Madai's attitude was to receive it, not to go against it. And that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati makes a point in the purport that sometimes Jagai would suggest something good, and Madai would follow, and sometimes not. And sometimes the other one would suggest something good. But here, Madai was not going against Jagai. He wasn't saying, hey, throw those feet off your chest. Throw Lord Chaitanya's feet off your chest. What are you doing? This is a very religious and pious thing you're doing. He didn't say that. He was passive. He was a passive observer with a neutral attitude. Because he had a neutral attitude and he was passively observing, then he was greatly benefited. So much benefit that his heart was immediately rectified. Chitta became good. Atevyatte Nityananda Vasana Ediya Padila Charanadari Dandavatahaya. Madai quickly released Nityananda's cloth, fell flat and held the Lord's lotus feet. Duijani Ekatani Kaila Prabhu Pap Anugraha Kini Prabhu Kara Dui Bhag. Madai started speaking, O Lord, we both committed sinful activities together, my brother and I, Jagai. Why do you divide us while bestowing your mercy? So now he wants the mercy. He's begging for the mercy. He really desires it. Mora anugraha kara lana tora nam amarai udara kari bhare nahi ana. Madai said, my Lord, bestow your mercy on me so that I can chant your name. There is no one to deliver me other than you. Anugraha udar tora nam. So this is Madai is begging Lord Gauranga for his anugraha, his compassion, his mercy. And please give me your mercy so that I can chant the holy name. So we are, to some extent, we exhibit qualities like Jagai and Madai. And we are yet to chant the pure name of the Lord, Shudanam. So as Madai is giving us a good instruction to beg Lord Gauranga for Shudanam. Oh Lord Gauranga, Apurada Guchi, Shudanama Ruchi. Kabe habe bolo seidin amar. O Gauranga, when will that day come? Kabe habe bolo seidin amar. When will my offenses, please help me stop my offensive attitude and activities. Please, O Gauranga, please bless me with pure name. So this is his prayer, a very beautiful prayer. By your mercy I will receive the pure name. So Prabhupada used to say that 500 years ago there were only two, Jagai and Madai. But now the whole world is full of Jagai and Madais. The whole Sampradaya. And some of us, not all of us of course, but some of us may come in that Sampradaya, Jagai Sampradaya. So there's no one that can deliver me other than you. This reminds me when the first day we were here, we met Pankajangri. He said, oh, you've come after a long time. And I said, yes, I came to get the mercy. And then he immediately said, to get the mercy, you have to really need the mercy, and you have to really want the mercy. And that was like a sutra. Because I thought, this is, when a Brahmin speaks, what to speak of a Vaishnava, Param Vaishnava. If a Param Vaishnava speaks, it's very important. It's very significant. It's not some trite Gramya Katha that you pick up in the sabji market. This was spoken in front of Radha Madhav. And my statement was a sincere statement that I've come here to receive mercy. And his reply was directed by the Lord. It was a very, very powerful reply. Yes, you can get the mercy if you really need it and really want it. Anugraha. So here, Jagai is showing us in his relationship, Madai is showing us in his response to seeing his brother receiving the mercy in a full way. Prema Bhakti Dila. Mahaprabhu had bestowed Prema Bhakti upon his brother and put his charan on his chest. Vakshe Sri Chaitanya Charandila. So he's saying, my brother really got the mercy. And now he's feeling, I really need the mercy. Now he's feeling genuinely and truly, I really need the mercy. And he also feels, I really want the mercy. Because we might say, oh, kripa karo, kripa karo. Oh, Prabhu, oh, Gurudev, kripa karo. Please give me mercy. Oh, Prabhu, oh, Sannyasi Thakur, oh, Gurudev, oh, advanced Vaishnava. Please give me your mercy. We say like this, like, please give me a chapati. Please give me a rasgulla. Please give me some prasadam. It is a very superficial statement. There's no genuine backing, heart backing. The words are empty. There's no heart backing behind the words. Because when Pankajangri Prabhu made this statement, it really hit me. I said, yes. Then I had to examine myself. I had to ask my question. I came here for the mercy. Do I really want the mercy? Do I really need the mercy? Or do I feel, I'm okay, I'm all right? But then I have to think, well, actually, in America, when I was initiated in Los Angeles, and God Brothers, they would always call me Mahanidhi. I mean, the word is actually Nidhi. Nidhi means treasure, jewel, ocean, etc. So Mahanidhi. They said, Mahanidhi. So, yes, I really need Mahanidhi. I'm in great need. So I had to ask myself and inquire, do I really need the mercy? Yes, I really need the mercy. Mahanidhi, I'm in great need. Maha, great. But okay, that's established. But now the real, do I really want the mercy? Because if you want the mercy and you need it, then he said you'll get it. But if I get it, maybe it's too much for me. If I get this mercy, then maybe it's no more sense gratification. And no more oversleeping and no more and fault finding and all the good things that we do. There'll be no more fun anymore. You can't fault find the Vaishnavas and can't blaspheme anyone and can't miss all the programs and have a good time. Because if you get the mercy, then you'll be fainting on the ground. Prema Murchita. Padila. Murchita Padila. You'll faint on the ground. And tears will come from your eyes like torrents of rain. And you'll never be the same. Your old self will be gone. A new self will arise. A new horizon. So this is a very interesting point that Madai, he's really feeling it. I want your mercy. I need your mercy. Bestow your mercy on me so I can chant your holy name. There's no one other than you to deliver me. So when we have that intensity of surrender and that intensity of purpose, then the Lord will surely bestow His mercy upon us. It's a matter of defining our purpose. In business, they have this idea of mission statement. What is the mission statement of the Mayapur Gurukul? What is the mission statement of the Mayapur Nursery School? Or whatever. So the mission statement. So the defining the purpose. What is the actual purpose of my existence? Why am I here? And what is my intention? And when that becomes clear, then we can formulate some idea of what mercy we want. And we'll be prepared to receive it. Because if you're begging for mercy, if it comes on you like a ton of bricks, as they say, if it all of a sudden comes on you, wait a minute, this is too much. I didn't want that much mercy. This is too much mercy. Can you give me a little bit at a time? A little mercy at a time, like installment basis? You can send like 1 liter of mercy this week and 1 liter next week and another liter. I don't need a whole kadambini, a whole rain shower at once. But this is the danger. That when we're going to Vadanaya Avatar, when we're going to the most merciful avatar, and we're begging for mercy, and we're saying, oh Mahaprabhu, I really need the mercy. I really need the mercy. I really want your mercy, your full mercy. We better watch out. Because if we actually pray like that truly and sincerely with a purified purpose, then the Lord may reciprocate in a way so grand and so powerful that we'll fall over. dum, murchita. So we should very carefully tread the razor path of bhakti, very gingerly step on the path, because it's said that the path of bhakti is like a razor, shura means razor, pat means path, shurapat, bhakti pat is shurapat, it's like a razor, you can go this way, you cut yourself, you go this way, you get a clean shave. So this is a nice teaching Jagai is giving us, Madhai. So he is telling like this, he is making his petition to the Lord, please have mercy on me. So if we're visualizing, we're thinking, well, will the Lord give us mercy? What will the Lord say? Madhai is begging him. There's no one other than you to deliver me. So Prabhu replied, Prabhu Bali, Tara chana nahi deki muni, nitinanda ange rakta padili setuni. Madhai balaya iha balite napar, apanara dharma prabhu, apani kine chara, vane vindi leka toma, ye asuragan, nija padatasabari, tabe dile kine, prabhu bali, taha haite twaraparad, nitinanda angete karili, raktapat, ama haite e nitinanda dehabara, Torastane e satya kahilama dhara. Vishnu replied, I do not foresee your deliverance. So see, he's begging you, please, no one other than you can deliver me. So we're thinking, oh, I'm sure Vishnu will say, yes, I will deliver you. I'm Patita Pavan Avatar after all. So we may be seeing the scene like this, and then, oh, wait a minute. I didn't anticipate that. I didn't visualize this would be the next scene in the Leela drama of Vishambhara and Madhai and their exchange. I don't foresee your deliverance, for you have drawn blood from the body of Nityananda. Nityananda ange rakta padili. Rakta is blood. Madhai said, you cannot say this. Why are you forsaking your duty? Why do you award your lotus feet to the demons that pierced your body with arrows? Now he's speaking of, because Chaitanya has shown himself as Vishnu. So now Madhai knows the secret. Wait a minute. This Nimai Pandit is God. He's Bhagavan, Narayan. And Narayan has so many pastimes, Krishna, Ram, etc. And the demons pierce his body with arrows and he gives them mukti, gives them liberation. So he's knowing that. He's understanding that. He has the feet of the Lord on his chest, so all knowledge has come into him. The Lord replied, your offense is much greater than theirs, because you have drawn blood from the body of Nityananda. The body of Nityananda is superior to mine. I emphatically tell you this truth. This doesn't look very good for Madhai. Satya jari kahila takura morastane balaha niskriti muni paiba kemane. Madhai said, O Lord, if you are telling me the truth, then tell me, how will I be delivered? Savaroga nash vaidya chudamani tumi roga chikitshile sustahai ami. You destroy all disease. You are the crest jewel of all physicians. If you treat me, I will be cured. Vaidya Chudamani, right? The crescent jewel of all. Sarva Roga Nash. Sarva Roga Nash. You can destroy all the diseases. Nakara Kapat Prabhu Samsarera Nat Vidita Haila Ara Lukaiba Khat. O Lord of the Universe, Samsara Nath, this means Lord of the Universe. In other words, Lord of all the people in the Samsara, which means in this universe, Samsara Nath. O Lord of the Universe, don't be kapat. O Prabhu, don't be kapat. Don't deceive me. Don't cheat me. Now that you are known, how will you hide? In other words, you gave me darshan, Chaturbhuj Narayan darshan. And you have all the powers and all the abilities. You can give anugraha. Now you're trying to say that you can't, you won't do anything. With so many demons before you liberated, I'm also a demon. What about me? How can you say this? Don't forsake me. Don't deceive me. I know who you are now. Prabhubale aparada kaile tumi bhara nityananda charanadarya giya pada. Madhai, you have committed a grave offense. Go and hold the lotus feet of Nityananda. Paya prabhura agya madhyay takan darila amulya dan nitai charan. Being ordered by Lord Vishambar, Madhai caught hold of the invaluable treasure of Nittai's lotus feet. Ye charana dharile na jai kabu nash revati janena je charana prakash. By taking refuge of Nittai's lotus feet, one is never vanquished. Revati knows well the glories of those lotus feet. So Revati, of course, is the consort of Balaram. So she knows the glories of his feet. So this is very nice. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is Shastra Praman. This is the injunction. Madhai, a few moments ago, he had the feet, Sri Chaitanya Charana Dila, Vakshe. The feet of Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj Mahaprabhu, Radhan Krishna's feet were on his chest. He had darshan of Lord Narayan. Before that, such mercy he received. So one would think that it's all over now. He has it. He has perfection. But yet after receiving these great installments of what seems to be mercy, he's begging, "Oh my Lord, please give me your holy name and deliver me." Although he's fainted, he's holding on to Lord Chaitanya's feet and he's crying. But still he's feeling empty. Madhai is feeling empty. He's not feeling delivered, despite this incredible exchange with the Lord of compassion. And then when he begs the Lord for his anugrah, the Lord says, "Forget it. You'll not get that mercy." Nityananda Charana, you have to hold on. Darila. Nityananda Charana Darila. You have to hold. Dharana. You have to hold tightly. You hold tightly onto the feet of Nityananda. You may get your mercy there. If you offend Nityananda, his body is he's superior to me. There's no one. My devotee is on my head. Devotee can stand on my head. That's how superior he is. I hold the feet of my devotee on my head and wear the dust of their feet on my head like a great crown. The shiromani, jewel on my head. So then, Vrindavan Das Thakur, of course, he's glorifying his Ishtadev, also Nityananda, but he's making a factual statement. Ye charana darile na jai kabu nash. If one takes refuge at the lotus feet of Nittai, he is never vanquished. Vishambara bale shuni Nityananda rai padila charane kripa karite jujai. Vishambara said, "Nityananda, listen. Now Madhai has fallen at your lotus feet. It is proper for you to show him mercy." Tomarang gate jena kaila raktapat tumi se shamite para padila tomat. Vishambara said, "Since he has made you bleed, only you can forgive him. And now he has fallen at your feet. Nityananda bale prabhu ki baliba muni Brikshadware Kripakara Seya Shakti Tuni." Nityananda replied, "O Lord, what can I say? You have the potency to bestow mercy even through a tree." So he's of course there's many pastimes where Lord Chaitanya is embracing trees and bringing them back to life and liberating the palm trees. So and then taking the mango seed and turn into a mango grove with all the devotees. So he's saying, "All right, Nityananda," in his own humility, he's saying, "What am I? I'm like a tree. But if you want me, if you're telling me to give him mercy, if that is your order, and your order has all the potency to carry it out." So just see the humility of Nityananda. He said, you have the potency to bestow mercy even through a tree. In other words, I have no power on my own. As Prabhupada prayed to when he went to New York, he said, They have named me Bhaktivedanta. I have been given this name, Bhaktivedanta. My Lord, I'm praying to you, please make my words come true. The people here in America are covered by the modes of ignorance and passion, by lust, anger, and greed. How will they understand this message of Bhaktivedanta, the devotional message of the Veda? They've heard the Mayavad message of this Vivekananda and others that have gone there before me. But I'm coming with the Bhaktivedanta. So please, I'm begging you, that through me, you will act through me and make my words true. Make them understand my words. Make them understand the true purport of the Vedanta, which is devotion, devotional love, Krishna consciousness. So Nityananda is displaying this type of humility also. So now, Madhai is about to receive the mercy of Nityananda. At least we hope so. So just freeze that scene in your consciousness of the drama. The curtains close. Chaitanya is asking Nityananda to bestow his feet upon Madhai. I mean, how will Nityananda respond? Will he do it? He seems to be indicating that he will. Oh, that you, by your mercy, you can make, even through a tree, you can distribute mercy. So it seems that maybe through me you'll also do. And Nityananda will give his feet. But we don't know. We can find out tomorrow. This shows the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simply by protecting a devotee once, how much mercy you can get. It completely cancels and annihilates all your other sins. Jagai had committed thousands and thousands, unlimited numbers of sins, which we were saying yesterday. And all he did was, one time, the Madhai threw the pot, then he pulled his hand and said, stop, don't throw again, don't hit him again. He's a sannyasi, he's avadut, don't do that. So just imagine how much mercy we'll get if one time we protect a devotee, or one time we protect the Lord. We have so many opportunities to do that. So how much mercy will come to us if we protect devotees? Generally, we jump in the bandwagon, as they say. We jump on the bandwagon and ride down the street of aparad. And when someone's dumping aparads on another godbrother, we join in and say, oh, you're adding some good sauce here. You're making some good sweet rice. Let me put some kishmish inside. Let me put some raisins and some cashews. Make a good blend. Oh, he said this. Oh, you know, but I heard this and that. Acha. Oh, that's really getting tasty now. It's really getting a very rich taste is coming out of this aparads. But at that moment, at that juncture of time, if we protect a devotee and stand up for that devotee and defend him or defend her, then how much mercy will come from Gauranga? This is what's shown here. And we're not exactly as sinful as Jagai. I mean, we may be sinful, may be fallen, but we're not as bad as Jagai. And so much mercy he got, the feet of the Lord on his chest, and darshan of the Lord. If we even get one-tenth of that mercy, it'll really help a lot. It'll really help a lot. If we just get some dust from Lord Gauranga's feet on our chest. We don't want the feet, even some dust. So this will happen by protecting devotees. This is a lesson that Lord Gauranga is teaching us. How much he appreciates and how much he'll reciprocate with us if we try to speak a few good words about a devotee. Jagai didn't do all that much. All he did was say a few words. And he reached, when Madhai picked up another broken piece of the pot or a bottle or something to throw at Nittai again, he grabbed his arm. Jagai grabbed him and said, stop! Stop! Enough! He's an innocent person. Don't do this. He's a sannyasi. We have no issue with him. He said a few words, a little physical gesture and a few words. So just saying a few words can make a big difference in getting the mercy or not getting the mercy. We say a few words the wrong way, we go to hell by Vaishnava Parad. We say a few words on the right side of things, then we get promotion, we get the mercy of the Lord. So it's a thin line. We can take this example here. At all costs, at every opportunity, and at all costs, stick up for the devotees. As Padmalochan was saying, that ISKCON is very rare, and to be in his class a few days ago, ISKCON is a very rare movement. There's only a handful of jivas in the entire universe that are interested in going back to Godhead. He made this nice point in class. How rare it is. Okay, we have our anomalies, and we have our deficiencies and our problems. But amongst ourselves, we are the chosen few, as the Christians say, or whatever. The very few of us that have come under the umbrella of Gauranga's mercy. So we should defend each other and stick together. Strength in numbers. United we stand, divided we fall. These are great shlokas from mundane politicians. I mean, it's better than Yatamat Tatapat. That's an Indian slogan, Yatamat Tatapat, Vivekananda, Ramakrishna. But some political leader in America said, United we stand, divided we fall. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So this is the house, Prabhupada built a house that we can all live in. But we start making divisions by aparad, then we will all die in that house. We won't live in it, we'll die. He built a house we all die in. Everyone goes in the house, you close all the windows, close all the doors, and stick a pipe inside a hole in the wall and fill the house full of carbon monoxide from the tailpipe of your car. And see what happens, everybody in the house, they all suffocate, choke, and die. Lack of oxygen, can't breathe. Carbon monoxide from the car exhaust. So we're building a house we can all die. We can all die in. No, Prabhupada built a house that everyone can live in. So we live and thrive by priti lakshana, loving dealings with each other. No more fault finding, no more aparad. Pujapad Srila Radhanath Swami has commented that there's one verse in Shastra that says this path of devotion is like a razor's edge. But in response to that, Srila Radhanath Swami said that if one becomes lower than a actually genuinely exhibits and feels humble in his mind and heart by true assessment of his own position, by true assessment of our own position, the natural result of that honest assessment is humility. But when we have an inflated idea and a jilted idea or a jaundiced idea of who we actually are, then we can't be humble. With a genuine, honest assessment or analysis of ourselves, then we'll realize how finite we are, how weak we are, and how dependent we are, and naturally we become humble. We said if we develop this kind of humility, then that razor's edge, the path of bhakti, which is like a razor's edge, becomes like a four-lane highway. You know, a big freeway in the Western countries that four lanes, big, all these big highway. So that's a nice thing. What is very narrow becomes very broad. It's very difficult, a narrow path, if we're proud, if we're offensive, if we're insincere. But if we're humble and appreciative and sincere, then that narrow path becomes a very wide path, all accommodating path, all inclusive. And it's told in 11th canto of Bhagavatam that if one is sincere and he runs, this is 11th canto, if one runs down the path of bhakti blindfolded, if he actually runs down the path of bhakti blindfolded, if he's sincere and actually attached to Krishna, then he won't fall. Even if you run blind, if you cover your eyes like this, blindfolded. Because Krishna is there on all sides to protect and hold up the devotee. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai.